Beginning on the first day of 2021, members of Vermont's Native American tribes will qualify for free hunting and fishing licenses. This after Governor Phil Scott signed that bill known as H-716, passed the legislature in July of this year. And that means members of Abenaki tribes can apply for free and permanent hunting and fishing licenses. Well, just after that bill was signed in July, VPR's Henry Epp spoke with Don Stevens, chief of the Nelhegan Band of the Cusick Abenaki Nation, and asked him about the bill.
Can you tell me a bit more why that change was important to you?
One of the reasons I was pushing for that was to give our people access to our natural food sources. Our ancestors secured or always retained our hunting and fishing rights from 1796 and some of our land grants and also through treaties. We've never given up our rights to hunt and fish in our territories. The state of Vermont just had never honored those rights. The other focus was, especially with this COVID thing happening, was that people who are unemployed that might have to pay for a license, they won't have to decide whether they're buying a meal or paying for a license.
As we are in hunting seasons for several different kinds of game, this bill does not cover the moose hunt in Vermont. According to Vermont Fish and Wildlife, moose are managed through a permit lottery system, and those lucky enough to garner permits through that lottery will head out into the woods the third Saturday of this month, and they'll be able to hunt for six consecutive days. But turning back to folks in the Abenaki Nation, head chef at Sweetwater's restaurant in Burlington, Jesse Lawyer, got to experience a moose hunt with a friend in the Penobscot Nation in Maine. In Maine, you can enjoy moose hunting with your friends, even if you are not the shooter. Jesse got to go along with his friend on Penobscot land on what he calls a subsistence hunt. I got to speak with Jesse earlier this week about his experience.
My buddy, Jeff Stewart, who is a tribal citizen of the Penobscot Nation in Maine, he gets a sustenance tag every year, the taking of game to live on throughout the year, and this was his moose hunt. I got there on Sunday. The first day we went hunting was Monday. Got up about 4:30, drove to his hunting spot in northern Maine, about a half hour away. We heard a grunt on the way in, walked to where we were about to set up to call for the day, and then started calling. Maybe three calls later, using a birch bark moose call, the bull walked out 18 minutes into shooting hours, and yeah, he was on the ground at 6:16 and started processing right away. First, obviously we gave thanks to the animal, offered tobacco to it. And then once, you know, the thanks were given, then I held the moose up while he was able to gut it. And then once it was gutted, we got it in the right position and started skinning it. And once it was skinned, we took the front quarters off, the hind quarters off. We put the quarters in game bags, loaded them in the truck.
Did you keep any for consuming right there while you were still at camp in Maine?
We kept the heart, the nose, and the tongue. And the first thing we cooked that night was the heart.
Jesse, can you talk about why it was important to you to go along on this subsistence moose hunt in Maine?
That was the first moose hunt I've ever been on. So that was another thing I wanted to do, was see it all unfold, just because we don't get sustenance tags in Vermont and the permit lottery system is, you know, so few. So I'd like at least one moose tag go to each of the bands, you know, for not only distributing food, but, you know, for people to be able to see that, for other Abenakis to be able to see that, because it is a very special, sacred hunt. You know, it's a lot of meat. There's a lot of uses beyond the meat. So yeah, I think it's important. It's a very big cultural identity that I think should be shared.
And you create traditional Abenaki dishes using Abenaki ingredients at the restaurant. Can you list some of those ingredients that you're using?
Obviously, corn, beans, and squash were huge staples, not even just among the Abenaki, but indigenous cultures across the Americas. Jacob's cattle bean, which is a Wabanaki variety, you can find those in like any Hannafords around. Some of the corn, squash, I mean, sunchokes are huge. I love cooking with sunchokes, you know, little tubers in the ground. Variety of nuts. In the historical record, I don't know too much about mushrooms being used, but they're around. You know, fruits that I can gather. I just discovered elderberries this year, what they look like, you know. So, and then, yeah, any wild game from deer to beaver to muskrat to duck. I cook very in the moment and, you know, I'll get an idea in my head, write it down, and then just build from there. What I'm trying to do is do more with what we've been able to grow that is Abenaki what we can hunt, what we can fish, and then build those into delicious dishes for the Abenaki citizens or other tribal nations. What a lot of people in the indigenous food sovereignty movement have been doing is, you know, trying to reinforce that this is our food and you can cook it at home, you can make it delicious, and, you know, it's for us. I think it holds value for other people to see it and taste it as well. But when it comes down to it, I want to see Native families everywhere putting this on their kitchen table for them and their family, you know?